But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with the mystery of the missing client list. Move on to how badly DHS fucked up their Texas flood response, and follow all of that up with the Trump regime's problem with immigrants, super or not. Let's begin, shall we? As the saying goes, elections have consequences. And just 6 months into the find out phase, one thing is clear.
You can't make a tomlet without breaking some Greggs.
For example, international trade is apparently really hard for people who have absolutely no fucking idea what they're doing. I mean, it's basically your country has stuff and other countries have stuff. So maybe you want their stuff and they want your stuff. So you invite other countries to your place so you can discuss trading all your stuff and their stuff and all of that good stuff. So, you know, the kind of things that presidents like Clinton and Obama did, getting NAFTA and the Trans-Pacific Partnership going when they were in charge. Good times. Unfortunately for us, those good times ended last January, because ever since then, international trade has become a game of taco.
No more deals announced yet.
The president has set July 9th, which is Wednesday, as the deadline for countries to have new trade deals or to negotiate trade deals with the U.S.
And a new deadline in Trump's tariff wars after his administration will not be likely to meet Wednesday's deadline to secure 90 deals in 90 days.
So far, we've seen three, and they're not concrete deals the way that we're used to seeing trade deals. They're frameworks. Mm-hmm. The president has a reputation, self-described deal maker. So why haven't we seen the kind of deals that he promised in the last 90 days?
Again, he didn't promise this. And when we send out the 100 letters to these countries, that will set their tariff rate. So we're going to have 100 done in the next few days.
And but that's not a deal. That's a threat.
No, that's the level. That's the deal. If you want to trade with the United States, this is.
But that's not a negotiation. That's just a.
Many of these countries never even contacted us.
Tariff rates, do they change on July 9th or August 1st?
No, they're going to be tariffs. The tariffs are going to be the tariffs. I think we'll have most countries done by July 9th. Yeah. Either a letter or a deal.
Well, that explains so much. For the last 6 months, Grumpy Thinskin has been shitposting threats on his Temu Twitter or slouched over the little ex-booger-covered Resolute desk, and no one actually gives a single fuck. And rightfully so, because tariffs aren't a threat to other countries. See, they are a threat to the country threatening the tariffs. For one simple fact, the consumer pays the tariff. Whether that's the American business owner who initially pays it, then passes that price increase down to their customers, the fact remains that tariffs are not a threat to other countries. And if we're being totally honest, good negotiators don't start a conversation with a threat of punishment if their demands are not met. That's what a loser who cannot negotiate does out of impotent rage over the fact that two Democrat predecessors, one being a black man, were better at presidenting than the over-bronze Nepo baby mantraming his way through any given day in the Oval will ever be. For an infinite amount of reasons, of course, but two specific ones held the spotlight this past week for being not only a poorly educated cover-up, but deadly AF.
And remember, kids, the next time that somebody tells you the government wouldn't do that, oh, yes, they would.
And for those of you in the back, let's start with the poorly educated cover-up that's taken the Maggotverse by storm.
The DOJ says its case closed on Jeffrey Epstein's alleged client list and his death.
After months of promising the public release of the Jeffrey Epstein client list, the Justice Department and the FBI now saying the client list doesn't exist.
A report this week from the DOJ and FBI
which stated there was no client list and Epstein did not blackmail the people who took part in his crimes.
Concluding Epstein did not maintain a client list that he used to traffic underage girls.
The Justice Department also releasing more than 10 hours of purported footage, which they say supports the medical examiner's finding Epstein died by suicide while in custody in 2019. The video allegedly shows the view from across Epstein's cell door in a Manhattan prison, indicating no one entered the area the night he died.
And I don't know that the Justice Department helped their case. They released this video.
The release of that surveillance video has fueled some conspiracies itself. There appears to be a missing minute at midnight.
It's very interesting that at the 11:58 mark and 58 second, the video jumps to 12 o'clock and is missing a full 61 seconds.
The DOJ says it will not be releasing any more material from the case files.
Well, that is probably a really good idea considering this announcement made Alex Jones want to throw up. And every maggot on the internet, for that matter, losing their stupider than a fifth grader minds because no client list just doesn't make any fucking sense. Especially after that Epstein exposed binderama at the White House back in February, when right-wing influencers gathered in front of the Big Lebowski and received huge white binders filled with all sorts of dirt on Jeffrey Epstein. That was already public knowledge. Yeah, no one was happy with that bait and switch.
You done messed up, Aaron!
Which is why the sequel to the last Epstein reveal party is giving some old bullshit for the following reasons. Number one, the internet remembers that time back in February when Box Color Blondie said this on Fox Not a News Channel.
The DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients? Will that really happen?
It's sitting on my desk right now to review. That's been a directive by President Trump.
So what happened to the Epstein client list?
She was saying the entirety of all of the paperwork, all of the paper in relation to Jeffrey Epstein's crimes. That's what the Attorney General was referring to, and I'll let her speak for that. But again, when it comes to the FBI and the Department of Justice, they are more than committed to ensuring that bad people are put behind bars.
Also, it's pretty rich hearing Levitt explain that this DOJ is committed to putting bad people behind bars as it relates to the whole Epstein saga, when Donald Trump literally appointed the prosecutor, Alex Acosta, who gave Epstein a sweetheart deal to his own cabinet in his first term. In 2007, as U.S. attorney, Acosta approved a plea deal that allowed Epstein to plead guilty to a single charge of solicitation in exchange for a federal non-prosecution agreement. And Trump rewarded that guy with a role as Secretary of Labor in his White House.
Well, you know what they say. Sex traffickers traffic in herds to keep them safe from prosecution. And boy, did this reveal not disappoint. Not only does Pick Me Bondi lie through her veneers about what's on her desk, there's probably a very fucked up reason for that. Because did you know Dan Bongino, the Epstein conspiracy podcaster Cognitive Decline Don hired as deputy director of the FBI, has been missing work since last Wednesday, which is Cartman-level suspicious since that was the last time Dan and ambulance-chasing Bondi spoke, or, according to the people who were right fucking there, had a knockdown, drag-out argument over the Epstein client list and how it suddenly not exists is really bad for his conspiracy theorist side hustle. And not for nothing, but the Floridian fondler who was using Epstein's plane for campaign travel during the last election, flip-flopping over this dude really isn't helping.
Would you declassify the Epstein files?
Yeah, I would.
All right.
I guess I would. I think that less so because, you know, you don't know. You don't want to affect people's lives if it's phony stuff in there because there's a lot of phony stuff with that whole world. But I think I would.
Several months later.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? This guy's been talked about for years. Are people still talking about this guy, this creep? That is unbelievable.
And if you think that's unbelievable, wait until you hear that Epstein's sex trafficking hag, Ghislaine Maxwell, kept a little black book filled with names of people who used her boss's services, kind of like a client list. You know, a big part of the evidence against Maxwell and why she's sitting in a prison cell right now and will be there for the next 18 more years because she was found guilty of rounding up and busing migrants anywhere Epstein wanted to have one of his pedo-themed parties, like the one Crimes the Clown hosted for Jeff at Mar-a-Lago back in the 90s. A fact that was not lost on California Senator Ted Lieu, who said this during the last presidential campaign.
We hear a lot from our constituents on different issues, but something I've heard that doesn't seem to be being covered are the Epstein files.
On Capitol Hill, Democrat Ted Lieu went there, highlighting previously secret grand jury evidence connecting Donald Trump to Jeffrey Epstein.
These files were released, and like Donald Trump's sort of all over this, right? There are pictures of him with Jeffrey Epstein. He's taken multiple plane flights with Epstein with young girls on board. He is on call logs with Epstein. One of the highest trending hashtags on Twitter right now is about Trump and Epstein. I'm not going to repeat the hashtag because we're in a dignified setting.
The hashtag is Trump pedophiles. Many of the posts screen grab documents from a lawsuit that accused Trump of raping a 13-year-old girl.
But yeah, y'all might want to look at that because that's highly disturbing. And again, it shows that Donald Trump is unfit for office. And by the way, he was convicted in a civilian court for sexual assault, convicted in a separate court of 34 felonies. Donald Trump should drop out of the race.
Yeah, he should have. But if he did, then he'd be sitting in a prison cell in New York State while awaiting sentencing on federal crimes for inciting an insurrection and decorating his retirement home bathroom with classified documents. He'd be without access to his bronzer or Fixident, and Donnie Depends would be a steaming mess right now if it weren't for the election rigging skills of one South African dipshit. But I digress. The life-threatening problem Eric Stad poses to America is beyond an adjudicated rapist having the DOJ disappear a client list that clearly has his name written all over it. Although that's pretty fucked up all on its own. Because let's not forget, this is about his moronic scheme to get rid of FEMA and just have the state deal with their own natural disasters. And how is all of that going?
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
As of the recording of this show, 129 people have lost their lives in Texas because of the impressively incompetent fucktard running the department of this homeland sucks. For starters, while 3,000 to 5,000 Texans were calling FEMA during and after the flood, only a couple of hundred were able to get through because puppy killer Gnome didn't renew the agency's third-party call center contracts, so barely anyone was able to answer FEMA's phones. Which, by the way, is part of Lip Filler Gnome's new and totally stupid rules, like any person spending over $100,000 has to get her personal autograph. And all because Mar-a-Lago face Gnome's been spending DHS budget into brokenness with several months before the new budget kicks in, which makes other people's money Gnome's inability to balance her own budget a contributing factor in the avoidable deaths of adults and children taken by the flood. But whatever you do, don't say that to a right-wing media host or any member of the Republican Party, internationally known as the American Fascist Party.
Is there anything more that can be done congressionally, legislatively, to help these folks?
In a moment like this, we feel just as helpless as everyone else. All we know to do at this moment is pray.
Let me tell you, these left-wing liberals that want to make this political and blame this storm on Donald Trump, for crying out loud. This is an act of God like we've never seen before.
Every football team makes mistakes. The losing teams are the ones that try to point out who's to blame.
Blaming President Trump for these floods is a depraved lie, and it serves no purpose during this time of national mourning.
I think that's what's been the most frustrating part about the politicization of this tragedy here. Is that there's a lot of people commenting and chirping in on what should have happened.
Oh, and that's easy for you to say when clearly you don't want everyone to rightfully point the finger at Republicans and the Trump regime who are responsible for the lack of response to the flood, because that's the problem we are all having right now. Going all the way back to 2021, when the Biden administration granted $10 million to Kerr County, Texas, via his infrastructure bill that Kerr County commissioners could have used to update their outdated flood warning system if it weren't for the fact that they were maggot cult members.
We do not want more of Biden's mandates attached to keeping Biden's money.
But these people are communists. They hate America. They're teaching it in our schools. They're invading the border as we speak. I don't think we should take any money from the federal government because they can't be trusted.
Now, we don't need these funds here. We've done just fine. And we'll get by without them. But you spend this money, you're signing a contract with the devil, and the devil's in the White House.
If you vote to keep Biden's money, I will hold you personally responsible and personally liable.
The Biden regime has proven to be tyrannical and anti-American. There is no part of this administration that has the good of America or Americans at heart. We want no part in anything coming down from the federal government. This is Texas, and Texans can take care of Texas.
And I don't believe we should take the money. We should not have it. I don't trust our federal government. I don't think that they're truthful with us. And in these days and these times or whatever, we can't afford to make a mistake.
Well, Cletus, you and the rest of your ilk made a big fucking mistake reappropriating $10 million to your local sheriff's office so you could purchase some military vehicles for his department, because 129 Texans are dead so far, and 170 people, including children, are still missing. So is that how Texans take care of each other? And while your nappies are all in a bunch over Biden's federal government handing over $10 million to help you prevent disasters just like this, don't forget, it's Trump's puppy killer Bish running the DHS who recently canceled $3 million in funding that would have created a state-of-the-art system that would warn residents when extreme weather was coming right at them. Something that would have come in handy in Texas, what with Kerr County misappropriating the funding Biden gave them to save their asses before the flood destroys another popular camping ground. Instead, all we're probably going to get is this moronic idea in legislative form from the bad Bill Butch body from Georgia.
Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene has announced that she is introducing a new bill based on a growing conspiracy theory prohibiting weather modification.
You know how scientists are constantly manipulating the weather or whatever? Well, she apparently read about it on a message board, and she's very worried about it, and so she has legislation to fix that problem.
In a post on the social media platform X, Green explained that she has been researching weather modification and collaborating with the Legislative Council for months to draft this bill. She stated, "I am introducing a bill that prohibits the injection, release, or dispersion of chemicals or substances into the atmosphere for the express purpose of altering weather, temperature, climate, or sunlight intensity. It will be a felony offense."
While weather modification is a real activity, the internet has led to the formation of a conspiracy theory that the origin of the deadly Texas flooding was the result of chemicals being released into the air.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me the mental gymnastics poorly educated people will go to just to not say that extreme weather is caused by man-made climate change. Because if we are being honest, flash flooding has increased over the last few years, and it's because of a whole host of man-made reasons, such as causing the warming of our planet to rise by 7% thanks to politicians paid for by the fossil fuel industry, which causes a whole fuck ton more of rain that we've seen lately. And let's not forget, using more land for people paves the way for flash floods to be even more deadly and destructive, because everyone knows pavement and concrete don't absorb water like good old dirt does. And that brings me to wildfires and how their burning of the soil makes Texas dirt less absorbent in the first place, a direct cause of flash flooding, in case you didn't know. And as far as cloud seeding, or as the morons from Georgia like to call weather manipulation, goes,
Yeah, so cloud seeding is really this idea for farmers of like, hey, there's some moisture up there in the clouds. Is there a way that we can get it out of the clouds down here to the surface to help farmers? Because water vapor that's in the air needs something to grab onto, which is often like smaller than the tip of a pen. So you're thinking like pollens, particles of pollen or dust or even air pollution. So basically what they do is they fly planes up there to give the water vapor something to grab onto. So it's a combination of silver iodide and salt, actually. And so the water vapor forms around that. Eventually it gets heavy enough and then falls to the surface of rain. So when that happens, we're talking really small amounts of rain. In fact, scientists have been debating for decades whether or not this is actually very effective to do. So even when it does work, Gotti, we're not talking about a lot of rain, certainly not the amount of rain that they saw in Texas last week.
Because, and I'll say it slowly, humans do not control the weather, no matter how many times Alex Jones yells about it. All for the sake of denying man-made climate change. Which is why everyone has a problem with Save-A-Lot Stalin and the DEI disaster he hired to run the Department of This Homeland Sucks response to the flood. Roll tape.
Because of job cuts by the Trump administration, many National Weather Service offices are understaffed, including the two that serve this area.
Where was the WCM, the warning coordination meteorologist? I am convinced that the staff cuts that we saw were a contributing factor to the inability of the emergency managers to respond. The staffing was just fine, and the White House has concurred with this, to get the forecast out, to get the watches and warnings issued. But when you send a message, there's no guarantee it's being received. So someone needs to follow up, and that's the warning coordination meteorologist, a position that was vacant.
The lack of weather balloons in certain parts of the country due to federal budget cuts may have slightly degraded our ability to forecast this in advance because you have less data going into the models and therefore a coarser, less accurate simulation of what may occur in the future.
The National Weather Service did send a flood warning to cell phones as early as 1:14 a.m. But Weather Service forecasters cannot issue instructions on whether to evacuate or wait for rescue. Those messages are up to county or city officials. And the FEMA archive shows Kerr County did not send any wireless alerts through IPAWS on the 4th when the flooding began.
The first urgent weather emergency alert came at 4:03 a.m. from the National Weather Service, but neither Kerr nor Bandera counties sent residents cell phone messages, something CBS News has found both counties are capable of doing.
A new rule that any expenditure over $100,000 needed sign-off from Secretary Noem slowed the federal response. These sources tell us that FEMA's deployment of urban search and rescue teams, which are typically deployed in anticipation they might be needed, instead was delayed until Monday, 3 days after the flood. Now, a source also tells us that a request Texas made for FEMA aerial imagery to aid in the search was also delayed, waiting for Secretary Noem's approval.
That DHS Secretary Noem waited 72 hours to approve search and rescue from FEMA. A request like that, you shouldn't have to think about it for even 72 seconds, much less 72 hours.
One key piece of information is that even though Kerr County is prone to intense floods, it does not have an early warning system with sirens. County commissioners decided in 2016 something like that was more than what the county could afford.
Because to fuck up this badly, resulting in the preventable deaths of hundreds and counting, there isn't just one stupid decision or negligence of responsibility that led to this epic fail. It's a combination of things caused by a bunch of incompetent people, from Texas officials to the NipTuck addict running DHS, resulting in even more reasons why any member of this American fascist party should not be reelected or given the power to appoint anyone to a position of power. Case in point, the ignorantly racist problem Reichwing has with James Gunn's new Superman movie.
Well, for one thing, it's a terrible analogy. I mean, with Superman, they are sending your best.
I got to look at the script, and he's from Uganda. And there's a love scene with Batman and Robin.
Wow. I think the big tell is the actual actor. His name is David Cornsweet, and he said, I guess he didn't change it to a better stage name. He found himself unable to say Superman's slogan, quote, truth, fighting for truth, justice in the American way. He said, truth, justice, and all those good things. Aww. He refused to say the American way, and he's playing Superman. I don't know. We don't go to the movie theater to be lectured to and to have somebody throw their ideology onto us. I wonder if it'll be successful.
You know what it says on his cape? MS-13.
So tell me you know nothing about Superman without shoving your white supremacy down my throat. Because for those of you in the back who clearly don't know, Superman is and always has been an illegal immigrant who crashed into a field in a spaceship from another planet in a completely different solar system, whose adoption papers were forged by John and Martha Kent in order to explain why an older childless couple suddenly had a toddler running around their farm. Which means James Gunn knows what the fuck he's talking about.
James Gunn is saying Superman is an immigrant story.
In effect, you illegally entered a country.
This is how you're gonna be?
I'm not the one being interviewed, Superman.
Literally an alien from another planet.
The filmmaker and co-head of DC Studios recently opened up to the Sunday Times about the themes behind his new superhero blockbuster. I mean, Superman is the story of America, an immigrant that came from other places and populated the country.
You know, I think this is a movie about kindness, and I think that's something everyone can relate to.
Okay, James Gunn is a bit of a Pollyanna who probably hasn't heard a bit of Fox Not a News Channel, and good for him. But for the rest of us, I'd like to take a moment to point out some comic book accurate facts about Kal-El, the literal alien we call Superman. The idea of Superman is the brainchild of two very nice Jewish boys named Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, who in 1938 wanted to create a defender against Nazis and literally had Superman fighting Hitler in his early comic book stories. Jerry and Joe used Superman comics to respond to global anti-Semitism by having Superman confront the Holocaust, showing up in Poland's Warsaw Ghetto, and even helping Auschwitz survivors, so much so that Nazi propagandist Joseph Goebbels accused Superman of spreading the Jewish agenda to comic book fans. And for shits and giggles, Jerry was a classmate of Anne Frank and spoke often about his memories of her in school and her terrible fate at Bergen-Belsen, a Nazi concentration camp. Oh, and while we're on the subject of concentration camps, it sounds like building Alligator Auschwitz in a swamp in just 8 days was really a terrible idea on multiple levels. For example,
Alligator Alcatraz, but for the first time ever, we're hearing from several men who are being held inside the facility.
Soy Leanzi La Figura.
Leanzi Izquierdo on the phone describing what it's like inside the so-called Alligator Alcatraz. Says he's been at the detention facility out in the Everglades since Friday.
Aquí no hay agua para uno bañarse.
No water to bathe, he says. It's been 4 days since he showered. 400 people, he believes, are inside the facility.
Te dan comida una sola vez al día, comida que ha traído hasta gusano.
Only gets fed once a day, he says, and some of the food had worms. Detention center lights are on 24/7.
Los mosquitos parecen elefantes.
The mosquitoes, he says, are the size of elephants.
No te sacan afuera aunque sea un minuto a coger el aire.
Complaints they're not allowed to go outside, and the tents are freezing.
This is not the Four Seasons. It is a professional processing center to effectuate the deportation of illegal aliens. That's what it's for. It's professionally run.
Oh, so that is what you call professional. No running water. Bathing once a week if they're lucky. Meanwhile, the cuisine is infested with maggots, but hey, at least they only serve meals once a day. So there's that. No one's asking for the Four Seasons landscaping, hotel chain, or whatever you meant. We're just shocked at how 1930s Nazi Germany concentration camp, your professional detention center, is quickly turning out to be. A bunch of tents quickly put up, and it shows, without any plumbing or infrastructure underneath, probably because this is a strip of sand and mud in the middle of a swamp. The place leaks whenever it rains. The people are held with no access to running water, edible food, and the assurance that they're not going to be electrocuted due to flooding during the next rainstorm.
Some of you may die, but it's a sacrifice I am willing to make.
Meanwhile, the new arrivals are being rounded up with all the racial profiling these rent and ICE agent assholes can muster in order to meet Stephen Miller's approved quotas, trespassing onto a California cannabis farm to take anyone who doesn't look American, and then getting blocked in by protesters who showed up and parked in the way of any exit road the icy Gestapo would need to take to make their getaway. Showing up in MacArthur Park for no obvious fucking reason, staging what looked like a TikTok video until the mayor of LA showed up and told these cosplaying incels to skedaddle, which means they skedaddled. And in case you were worried about all the migrant farm workers being kidnapped and disappeared to a concentration camp, causing food to be even more unaffordable in the near future, don't you worry, because the Trump regime's pick for agricultural secretary has a harebrained scheme to replace those workers with Medicaid recipients.
I can't underscore enough. There will be no amnesty. The mass deportations continue, but in a strategic way, and we move the workforce towards automation and 100% American participation, which again, with 34 million people, able-bodied adults on Medicaid, we should be able to do that fairly quickly. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Cool, cool, cool. Just one question, though. Where are these 34 million able-bodied Medicare recipients? Because according to FACTS, there are an estimated 4.8 million and they're already working at least one job, Americans receiving Medicare. The rest on that program are children, elderly, and or disabled. Three categories of people no one with their final brain cell operating properly would classify as able-bodied replacements for the decades-long trained farm workers the government recently stole. While they were at work, by the way. I guess their brown skin, ability to speak multiple languages, and birthplace of origin not being the United States just makes them less American than others. At least, that's what the Vice Mascara thinks and said out loud in front of a microphone with cameras recording his every word, like this is a normal thing to say in public.
Vice President J.D. Vance is saying the quiet part out loud, advocating for rethinking what it means to be an American. Vance seemed to call for a vision of citizenship where people whose ancestors have been here longer have more of a claim to be American. Vance went on to blame so-called illegal immigrants, his term, not ours, for, quote, cheapening the very meaning of citizenship.
Identifying America just with agreeing with the principles, let's say, of the Declaration of Independence, that's a definition that is way over-inclusive and under-inclusive at the same time. What do I mean by that? Well, first of all, it would include hundreds of millions, maybe billions of foreign citizens who agree with the principles of the Declaration of Independence. Must we admit all of them tomorrow? I think the people whose ancestors fought in the Civil War have a hell of a lot more claim over America than the people who say they don't belong.
Au contraire, pasty colonizer. Me and history would conclude that not everyone who fought in the Civil War was fighting for America. In fact, 1.2 million Southern men joining the terrorist group known as the Confederacy and traitorously fighting for its existence proves my point. And if we're talking about any of their descendants being more American than anyone else who's ever lived in this country, then we've got more than just a failure to communicate. This is white supremacy's way of weeding out Americans they don't like, and no amount of mascara on JD couch cushions is gonna change that. And another thing, if the Confederacy is your heritage, then you're not even an American. And how can you believe in truth, justice, or the American way when your ancestors and historians after them fought against the migrant melting pot we are by stealing American land to form a completely separate country, complete with your own president and constitution that declared specifically that African slaves were property and not American citizens and never could be. A time, place, and ideology we're not going back to, no matter how many people ignore the fact that Melania Trump came to this country using a visa that she was not qualified for to have an anchor baby and then become a U.S. citizen. Or how about Hitler himself? His grandfather was another draft dodger and actual criminal who came to this country, the United States, illegally, lived here for 7 years before eventually becoming naturalized. A dude, according to his grandson, should be one of the 34 people stuffed into a cage at Alligator Auschwitz, where people drink and brush their teeth and poop from the same water source. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show, This Week Again, on social media platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, Facebook. You can listen to us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-der for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times, and if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.